listeners to Sounding Out's podcast series, an oral chronicle of sound and culture. Sounding Out remixes the everyday with theory, insight, and practice. To learn more, please visit us on the web at www.soundstudiesblog.com. Until then, stay tuned for today's episode.
This is the sound of the food court in Menlo Park Mall, Edison, New Jersey. Less than a mile from the site of Thomas Edison's Menlo Park Laboratory, where recorded sound and commerce made historical interactions. It's almost impossible to talk about commercial recordings today without mentioning Thomas Edison, or the brainstorm list of possible uses that he thought up for his phonograph in the 1870s. This list, cited often by sound historians, finds Edison envisioning phonography applied to letter writing, audio books, speech instruction, music, toys, announcements, and record keeping. But listen closely to the sound of the mall, and you'll hear something else. Recorded music serving atmospheric effects. Edison didn't immediately foresee this use for recorded sound, but it's become something so commonplace that we almost don't notice it at all. Today, recorded music is the ambience of everything. Playing in the background, you can hear Brian Eno's 1978 release, Ambient 1, Music for Airports. In the liner notes, Eno positions his work in opposition to the commercial recorded background music that was then filling commercial space. Eno writes, "Whereas the extant canned music companies proceed from the basis of regularizing environments by blanketing their acoustic and atmospheric idiosyncrasies, ambient music is intended to enhance these." But the word ambience comes into English from Latin and French, meaning what goes around. If we take this meaning literally, we realize that ambience is always already surrounding us. Listening to the sounds of a mall, it's hard to believe that idiosyncrasies are ever really removed. On any given stroll through a mall, you're likely to find several strange soundscapes. Here we find recorded music emanating from a video monitor in the middle of the mall. We also hear children giggling, sounding almost like dolphins in the reverb-drenched space. What could be more idiosyncratic than that? We also find loudspeakers making public service announcements, in much the same way that Edison once wrote of recordings that would, quote, "announce in an articulate voice the time for going home, going to meals, etc." In this case, the announcements discuss public health issues, like access to HIV medication.
For 40 cents, you can have a fish out.
That much frosting.
A peanut.
The two pills that keep you alive if you're HIV positive, they cost 40 cents a day.
Of course, recorded sounds also mark the comings and goings into different subspaces, the food court, the central square, and various individual stores. This is the sound of Express, a clothing retailer. Inside Express, the echo of the mall gives way to a more focused ambience. There are different sound profiles for different purposes, and this is something we'll see in greater detail when we visit other malls. Welcome to Dover Street Market. This is the New York location of designer Rei Kawakubo's multi-level high fashion retail chain. These so-called concept stores are essentially high-end malls that sell only luxury items from brands like Comme des Garçons, Rick Owens, and Supreme. Notice how clearly individual voices puncture the ambience. These soundscapes can accomplish two things. They enforce quiet behavior, but they also turn conversations into something public and performative. If you aren't whispering, you're on display. Like a gallery or a museum, this is a soundscape of surveillance. It's also the sound of international luxury. Let's take a trip over to Target. Target is a discount department store chain founded in Minnesota in 1962. To distinguish itself from other discount chains, most notably Walmart and Kmart, Target focuses on optimizing the ratio of price to quality, rather than simply emphasizing the deepest discounts. This has led some consumers to affect a French pronunciation of the store's name, Target. This joke goes back to at least 1970, when the company introduced its Miss Target line of women's shoes. But Target is different from its competitors in other ways, too. It isn't always full of music. When you do hear music at Target, it's usually from a few specialty displays clustered around the electronics section. At Target, a respite from the overscheduling of consumer culture comes in the form not of music, but rather through the absence of music. Paradoxically, this allows the products that do produce sound to break through the soundscape, seducing shoppers' attention from afar. The soundscape of commerce surrounds us most fully in cavernous, reverb-soaked spaces. Like the cathedrals before them, echoes and reverbs spice the air today in communal places. But rather than places of worship, these buildings take the form of retail warehouses and shopping mall atriums. Of course, these aren't the only places where ambience lives. Ambience is everywhere, and it's also different everywhere. Musical ambience can be a luxury product, or it can be an advertisement. For Brian Eno, the deliberate composition of ambient sound meant creating sparse pieces that would mingle with larger acoustic spaces upon playback. But for young ambient music fans today, ambience is often experienced in the small listening space of a home, a car, or a pair of headphones. This is not another retail field recording. It's a track called Elevator Down by Disconscious. It's part of an internet microgenre called Mallsoft. From the Mallsoft Reddit page, we find the genre described as ethereal, vague music that is very easily looped. An offshoot from Vaporwave, another internet microgenre, the popular Mallsoft origin story involves anonymous proclamations that the genre was growing, which gathered enough steam to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. While the subgenre is still quite marginal, it does prompt a re-examination of the prospect of ambience. Mallsoft music reproduces the acoustic effects of trance-like consumption, whether distracted and mindless, or rapt and contemplative. It simulates the reverb of a large shopping destination with production tricks, creating ambient music that appropriates commercial background sounds rather than refuting them. In 1993, Anne Friedberg's book Window Shopping brought together cinema studies and architectural history to show how commercial spaces respond to and influence debates about public life more generally. She also tracked the ways that malls and department stores inherited their architectural shape from pre-existing structures. Like railway stations and warehouses, malls facilitate comings and goings by all manner of person and product. Like libraries and archives, they also facilitate the storage, browsing, and retrieval of large volumes of belonging. All of these spaces share certain acoustic traits as well, related to their common design elements. Glass skylights, elevated walkways, tall atriums, and stacks of product. Yet most accounts of commercial space offer relatively little on the sound of these buildings. Jonathan Stern pointed this out in 1997, and he began to rectify the situation by investigating programmed music at the United States' largest mall. At the time, Stern called shopping malls icons of consumer society, both emblematic and microcosmic representations of the 20th century's consumer culture. But today, retail is changing. Websites like deadmalls.com document a growing infatuation with underpopulated, abandoned, and decrepit malls. Pictures and reporting from the wastelands of mall space have popped up in The Economist, The New York Times, The Guardian, and The New Yorker. Stern showed in the 90s that programmed music was a part of commercial architecture, used to manage the circulation of both consumers and products. But today, the soundscapes of retail are being repositioned. What begins as an architectural technique is now becoming ambient music. If programmed music is meant to direct the flow of shoppers through a mall, producing faux soundscapes in the style of Disconscious might imagine the possibility of a self-produced, self-organized commercial space. It's charmingly retro and refreshingly quaint. A bit of face-to-face interaction and a bit of climate-controlled luxury. Of course, we should resist the temptation to conflate ambience with upper-class comfort. The ambience of Walmart, playing now in the background, foregoes everything we've heard so far. The quiet of Target, the focus of Dover Street, the reverb of Menlo Park, and the aspiration of Disconscious. Instead, we get loudspeaker announcements and Americana rock, played at barely audible volumes. It's the ultimate trick. The musical hooks are just loud enough to get stuck in your head, but not quite loud enough to notice. I'll leave with this next one, a Dunkin' Donuts in Edison, New Jersey, with a blown-out speaker playing Santo and Johnny's 1959 hit, Sleepwalk. Different stores pursue different goals in their audio programming, many far more sophisticated than early phonograph promoters could have dreamed to predict. But ambience isn't just what gets programmed. It's whatever surrounds us. Whatever, literally speaking, goes around. It's hard to imagine that this soundtrack was planned with any clear objective in mind. And yet, of course, the store's playlist was no accident either. It just goes to show that you can compose a playlist with the dream of well-regulated space in mind, but there's no avoiding idiosyncrasy entirely.